San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB, presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB Studios with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, L.A. County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, out to the desert. And time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's a marathon runner. He's a family office expert and advisor to several high net worth families. You can read all about him and us and our show on iymoney.com. And his name is Richard Muzio. Richard, how are you?
I am doing great this evening, Joe.
good to be here. Good to be here as well. Good to be here. Had some pretty windy weather this week, didn't we?
Yeah, earlier this week, hail, wind, just typical winter in the winter wonderland known as San Diego.
Yes, yes. And getting all ready for baseball and the finished Chelsea's Run event coming up, right?
Are you in training, Joe? Because on March 2nd, you're going to be running a 5K that includes a huge uphill for the last 0.6 of a mile.
You're kidding. I better start at the finish and run it backwards.
No, because then you'd be running up a huge hill because it's downhill at the start. You see, Joe, what goes down must go up.
Oh, gosh. I better.
So we're, in case anybody's wondering, we're part of the Nathan Fletcher racing team for the Finish Chelsea's Run or the Finish Chelsea's 5K in Balboa Park on Saturday, March 2nd. Great cause. Supporting Chelsea's foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Nathan probably has a team of, oh, gee whiz, I bet it's going to be hundreds of people.
And 100,000 emails left over from his campaign, but who's counting?
Yeah, who's counting? I know. So we'll be out there, Mary, Demi, me, you, tons of people on that team. It's going to be a lot of fun. So
absolutely, absolutely. So what else has been going on? What have you been doing this week since we last met at the La Valencia?
Well, I had an interesting week this week because I got to speak at San Diego Estate Planning, the San Diego Estate Planning Council earlier this week, and talking about the new tax bill, the fiscal cliff bill, as we call it, that came out at the end of last year. But even more important, talking about sequestration, the fact that on March 1st, this nation may not have a budget that's in effect. I mean, we have a few days to work on that. But the continued debate about whether taxes are going to continue to increase, will spending decrease. Again, we're not a political show, but this is a very serious debate that's going on in Washington right now. And I got to present on that topic on Tuesday evening, and it was really, really fun presentation, but it's always a challenge talking about things where you're trying to predict the future and where politicians are involved.
Well, you know, we're not in a world war right now, and I know the military budget, what it started it was about $350 billion, and it's more than doubled, but can't we get that genie back in the bottle a little bit? I know that everyone's screaming about...
You know, we'll see, Joe. You know. We'll see. But I don't want to talk about that anymore because politicians depress me.
Right.
So I want to talk about somebody who was kind enough to speak for me at Star San Diego this past Wednesday.
Ah.
And they're going to be our guest tonight, too. We're making them drive up and down the coast, you know, to do these different events.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be Denise and Paul Fatek. And they did a great job presenting at Star. I think we had about 70 people there. And they spoke about their book, Steps to the Summit. But they're here in studio with us tonight to talk a little bit more to our wider audience about what they do and why they do it. And I've known Paul for some time. He works with an investment banking firm that I do some business with up in Irvine. But I don't really want to steal their thunder. I just want to welcome to the show. Welcome both Denise and Paul to our show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, Richard and
Thank
Joe.
Thank you. Thank great, you. Great to be here.
Great to be here.
Excellent.
So we always like to ask our guests, who the heck are you and why are you here? No, but more seriously, a little bit of background, what you do, where you came from, college.
Born and raised, all that.
All that good stuff.
Well, I guess the most appropriate place to start would be in 10th grade geometry class, and that's where Denise and I met, as a matter of fact.
What high school is that?
In Hoover High School in Glendale.
Wow.
And that was the beginning of a grand adventure that over many years has taken us to the top of the highest mountains around the world, and most recently Mount Everest. So that's the reason for the book Steps to the Summit, Reaching the Top in Business and Life. And we've certainly shared some neat adventures together as husband and wife, and we found that there are some pretty relevant business applications for some of these lessons and experiences that we've come across.
Let's back up a step, though. So you, the both of you, have climbed the seven highest summits on this planet, correct? There's one on each of the seven continents, if I got this right.
Right.
Okay. So how many people have climbed all seven? I'm just curious.
There's a list, and there's roughly 350 people in the world that are on this list, and there's only a few married couples that have ever done this, and you know that in itself has been a neat experience, very different to share with my wife.
And so Everest would have been the seventh of the seven, correct? Because that's the highest, right?
Right. Right.
Okay. How many feet up in the air?
Over 29,000 feet.
So it's about 5.5 miles tall. High. Wow. Okay.
Richard, the cool thing about Paul's book is if you open the book up, it has all the peaks there and the heights and the year and the month that they actually climbed these. So, but I'm just kind of struck by at what point in your lives did you say, hey, this is, well, how'd you even get into mountain climbing? And then what propelled you or compelled you or to do this?
So Paul is an Eagle Scout, so he spent many years in his life doing backpacking trips and camping and earning all those merit badges. And so then he was a ski instructor and when we met, and so he taught me how to ski and we both became ski instructors together. And so we figured hiking in the off season was a perfect accompaniment to our skiing. And so a friend of ours got a permit to climb Mount Whitney, and so off we went. And then even a greater challenge, we were invited to Africa where our friends were in the Peace Corps. So we thought, well, heck, let's go to Africa. I mean, everybody climbs Kilimanjaro if you go to Africa, right?
So right.
That's where it all began.
Well, my friend and his wife tried it, and the wife made it, and, well, you know who it was. It was Bill and Michelle.
Yeah.
Well. Bill got, I think, about halfway, so supposedly halfway, and then he just camped out, I guess, and went there. Mm-hmm. But Michelle's done it twice, so, you know, it's no easy feat. And so you decided to do them in what order? Any particular order? Or?
It kind of just progressively got more challenging, and it was totally our choice to pick them. But it was a neat way to find ourselves in remote destinations and a great excuse to have some vacation time in places that most people never get to see.
That's for sure.
I was going to say that that's a very accurate statement that most people never see. But you're doing this for different reasons. What are the couple of main motivations or reasons why that you wanted to climb all seven peaks?
Well, I think first and foremost for the challenge, you know, I think there's a certain curiosity whether or not we can do it. And, you know, a lot of people ask, well, you know, it seems like a risky thing. Why do you put yourself in those situations? And, you know, the way I look at it, life is short and, you know, there's inherent risk in everything. But I think there's a certain amount of risk in choosing not to dream and pursue your dreams. So we decided to live that philosophy, and it's been a heck of a lot of fun. And then the other reason, the most compelling reason, I think, that has kept us going through the challenges and the weather. Like, by the way, you were talking about the cold and rainy weather earlier this week in San Diego.
We're such wimps.
Yeah, you know.
yeah, see, one of your peaks is on Ann Arbor.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really sorry that it was so cold for you. But
yeah. I got through it okay, Paul. I appreciate the sympathy.
What's kept us going, climbing higher and higher, through the storms and the snow and avalanches and, you know, you name it, is an organization called the Challenged Athletes Foundation, based here in San Diego. You've probably heard a little bit about it. And we have raised a lot of money through our climbs for this great organization, providing prosthetic limbs and other specialized sports equipment that goes to kids and American soldiers wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan and others with various disabilities. So that's been one of the key things that, again, has kept us climbing.
Yeah, I love the Challenge Athletes Foundation. Funny story about me and them, even though I can no longer race my bicycle is still racing. When I lost my eyesight, I didn't get my peripheral vision back in the right eye, so my doctor said no more of that. So my Kubota Caliber was auctioned off at a CAF event and is now being ridden by a single-leg amputee who lost his leg while serving this country in Afghanistan, who obviously wasn't in a financial position to own a racing bike that cost quite so much money. So my bike is still out there competing. And I'm just, I can still run and do other things, but I'm cheering from the sidelines.
Yeah, Richard, we have to take a short break now, right? We'll be right back with more inspiring stories with Paul, Denise, and Richard right after these words. All right, we are back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life with our guests, Paul and Denise Fatek, who have scaled the seven summits, the seven highest mountains on the planet Earth, and Richard Musio. So back over to you, Richard.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, again, challenge athletes, great cause. But let me back up with the question. I mean, obviously doing this, climbing the world's seven highest peaks, successfully summiting Everest, that takes a lot of time and preparation and training, and I'm assuming both of you have day jobs too, right? I mean, people don't just throw money at you so you can go spend your free time climbing mountains. Tell us a little bit about what you do and how you fit into what you do professionally. This, what I would assume is immense training and preparation to be able to do what you do, you know, as described in Steps to the Summit.
That's right, yeah, indeed. Well, I'm an investment banker. I work for Hunter Wise Financial Group, and primarily I represent business owners in the sale of their privately held companies, and that's a very intense type of an advisory role, a critical one, especially for that business owner with the amount of wealth that's being transferred. So I take that job quite seriously, and of course it's always a challenge for all of us to get away on vacation. And, you know, the reality is some of our vacations have consisted of a 2-month expedition on Mount Everest. So thanks to some of the satellite technologies, I was able to manage some of those deals from places as far away as Antarctica and Mount Everest Base Camp in Nepal. And I think, you know, the real thing is, Richard, that you know, life is short, and you've got to make time for those things that you're passionate about. And I think that's really just a quick sample of one of my lessons in Steps to the Summit. And that's really just about maintaining a sharp focus and focusing on the goals, and what's important is what's gonna get you to the top and make a difference in your life.
But Paul, speaking of your sharp focus, I mean, we haven't even mentioned this yet. You are not necessarily as, shall we say, physically equipped to climb Mount Everest as maybe other climbists.
I thought you were going to say I'm not as sharp.
No, you're sharp. Sometimes you're too sharp. But you don't see your name in lights outside of the station. That's me. But anyway, tell our listeners, you do have a physical challenge. I don't like to use the word disability. Having been, you know, without vision in my lifetime, I like to use the word opportunity as opposed to disability. But you have a unique set of circumstances that you've had to deal with.
Right. I have something known as brachial plexus palsy. And at birth, the nerves that run from your spine to your hand, that's known as the brachial plexus, well, those nerves were stretched and partially severed, leaving me with limited mobility and strength in my right arm and hand. So as a result, I just don't have the gripping strength to climb some of these peaks that we've climbed. And quite frankly, I thought that was a challenge that was insurmountable with one peak in particular that's got a fairly high technical grading. That's Karstens Pyramid. So I wasn't about to give up. That's step number 15 in my book, Never Give Up. And Aaron Ralston, who you may remember, is the guy that cut his arm off in Utah. Well, he wrote a book. It was initially called Between a Rock and a Hard Place. It later became 127 Hours, starring James Franco. Right.
It's a great film.
Well, Aaron was the initial inspiration to me. The cover of his original book showed Aaron with a prosthetic ice axe as an arm. Well, that is what gave me the idea to go to Home Depot. I bought a $3 coat hook and attached it to a wrist brace, and that was enough to allow me to grip onto some of the rock ledges and at least be able to get myself up some of these more challenging peaks.
Yeah, to me that's an amazing story, because you wouldn't think $3 could buy something so powerful. But it does. Getting back to sort of an earlier, it wasn't a question, but I alluded to it. So the training that you must have to go through to be able to put yourself into a position of both physical fitness as well as, I guess, emotional and mental fitness to be able to ascend it. Because you don't just say, I'm going to go climb up this mountain someday by taking a long hike. Can you describe for our listeners a little bit about the training and Denise, you as well, the training that you've done in the past to get yourself ready to do these things?
Sure, sure. And, you know, I think in many respects, it was an 8-year process climbing these seven summits. And we started out with some of the easier ones like Mount Kilimanjaro and then progressed to higher and more cold climates and so forth. And then the other part of that equation is having the aerobic capacity and aerobic strength to get into that thin air environment and perform well. So Denise and I both do triathlons as a way of getting aerobically fit and strong. And we've both done a number of Ironman triathlon events. I had the privilege of competing in the Triathlon World Championship, the Hawaii Ironman in Kona. And Denise later this year is going to be doing the same thing in October. She's going to get herself over there and do the course over on the Big Island.
Ramping up.
Well, that's a lot of fun. I've run that course. I obviously haven't done the triathlon, but the challenge for me was getting used to the humidity. It's so much different than what we experience here.
Indeed, indeed.
Let me ask a question real quick. Did you have any friends or relatives who tried to talk you out of this, what mental or emotional obstacles did you have to overcome in doing this?
I would say actually just the opposite. I think people really encouraged us to do it, and we had been raising so much money for Challenge Athletes Foundation, and then we even had a banner that we put together with everyone's name who had donated to the Challenge Athletes Foundation on our behalf. And so we carried that banner, we carried it to the summit, and I think people were really proud to have their name on that banner and knowing that we were climbing for an organization and going somewhere where, you know, a lot of people could never physically find themselves. But as far as our family, they accepted our high risk.
So is that one of your points in your book, have a lot of emotional support before you undertake something difficult?
Yes, and have a little faith. We certainly have our spiritual lives that we feel strongly about. And when we were together, that was the unique component, is that we knew we could be watching out for one another.
Mm-hmm. I will tell you this, though, Joe. My mom had a little bit of
trepidation
would be a good way to put it. And I know, Richard, you do a lot of estate planning. And, you know, we just thought it was prudent before we left for Mount Everest to make sure that we had trust and will in place and whatnot. So as we were leaving for our 2-month long journey, I handed my mom a copy of our last will and testament.
Oy vey.
Just to have, just in case. You talk about being prepared. I mean, physically prepared is one thing, but being mentally prepared and, that's, I think, something empowering. If you are able to go into a situation knowing that you've got things taken care of. And, yeah, I mean, it's a sobering fact to even think about, especially Denise and I here together as husband and wife. There could be tragic ends, and we did see dead bodies on many of these mountains. It's just a sobering
reality. Yeah, that's right. They just leave them there, right? I mean, you're not supposed to remove the bodies if they fall.
Well, there's a couple of things. There's over 200 bodies that still on the slopes of Everest, and the challenge is just getting a body down from those altitudes. Over 26,000 feet, you're in the death zone, and it takes so much energy just to get yourself up and down to carry a body down or someone that is incapacitated by something like cerebral edema. It takes a tremendous amount of energy. And I think, fortunately we didn't run into any situations like that, and everyone was
Were there 200 fine. Bodies on one mountain or total?
That's just Everest.
That's just Everest. So there's a lot more out there other mountains probably.
That's the one where, you've got so much greater altitude than any of the others. It is again a sobering reality when you're faced with something harsh like that.
Yeah. Wow. That's something you're not expecting to see. But anyway, I think we got to take on a lighter note. We have to take a break right now. But we'll be right back with more of It's Your Money in Your Life. So hang on. All right, we're back with more of It's Your Money in Your Life, and now it's time to go over to Richard to thank some sponsors.
Well, actually, I don't want to thank some sponsors. I want to thank all the sponsors, Joe.
Good idea.
Our major sponsor, UBS, with Mr. Michael Coranta and Drew Freitas. Couldn't do it without you guys. Very much appreciated. San Diego's best business banker, Sean Puckett, with San Diego's best business bank, Regents Bank. Our favorite CPAs, whether it's tax season or not, Polito Epic CPAs up in Vista, Don Epic and Paul Polito. Best estate planning attorney in San Diego, maybe even beyond, Rich Gaines with Family Legacy Legal. Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping owners of real estate improve their cash flow. Best business valuation guy on the planet, probably the universe, Mr. Carl Sheeler with Business Valuations Limited. And last but not least, new daddy, Jason Kruger. I hope you're getting some sleep at night. Jason Kruger, CFO Services with Signature Analytics. Couldn't do it without all of you. Very much appreciated. And Joe, how can our listeners learn more about our sponsors?
Well, if you get on your little old computer or PDA or your smartphone and go over to iymoney.com, there is a sponsor tab where you can learn all about our sponsors, their professional backgrounds, their contact information, emails, everything. They're the tops in their field, and I'm sure they can help you out, as can Richard. And that's
how you find us. By the way, my presentation is San Diego Estate Planning Council was just put up there, and the full film version will be up there in about a week, and then we're going to shorten that down to a YouTube version for 4 or 5 minutes because you might suffer brain damage by listening to the whole 55. I have to throw out disclaimers, right, to keep our listeners safe.
Right. And then the other thing is all the podcasts are there, so you can hear this show and all our prior shows there, and we take out the commercials so you can get through the whole show in 40 minutes approximately. So.
And we are a great team, and we rely heavily on teamwork. Denise and Paul, I would imagine you have to do something similar when you're doing something not quite as dangerous as doing live radio, which is climbing Mount Everest. Could you tell us a little bit about teamwork?
That we do. Teamwork is a key component for us, and we rely on one another greatly to watch each other's backs, but also to encourage one another during our training and really push one another to make sure that we're fully prepared for what we're about to achieve.
And you were telling me a story about a certain experience that your husband had while you were roped together as a team. Or maybe, Paul, you can start. I'm assuming once your face isn't quite as red as it is when I brought this up, fill us in on the details. Would you be so kind?
I think you're talking about when we were on Denali.
Yes.
And we were roped together because there are crevasses hundreds of feet deep. And I was leading our team of four down. We'd already reached the summit. Denise was tied in on the rope directly behind me. And I took a step, and all of a sudden, wham, I just plunged right through the snow and fell into a crevasse. Now, fortunately, Denise had her ice axe out and arrested the fall. I climbed out of this crevasse, and you know everything was fine. But I think the interesting part of that story was actually later that day in our tent, and Denise and I were talking about what had happened and how awful it would be if something had happened to either one of us. I looked at Denise. I told her how much I love her and how much she means to me, and then Denise looked at me and told me how helpless and frustrated she felt as she was watching me as I clung for my life to the edge of this crevasse. But then she confided in me, Richard. She told me, looking at me with a quite serious look on her face, that the reason she felt so helpless and frustrated is because she wanted to take a picture of me in my pathetic state, but I had a camera in my pocket.
Way to go, Paul.
And all you listeners out there, you probably think that would have been a good photo too, right?
That would have been classic.
I would have changed my underwear personally, but
that's a good story. So a couple of my favorite chapters in your book, again, the name of the book is Steps to the Summit, Reaching the Top in Business and Life. Two of my favorite chapters, well, let me go one at a time. One of my favorite chapters is Make a Decision, which I find in business life, a lot of people have a hard time making decisions. They think if they don't make a decision, that somehow they can still progress or make progress along their path to whatever their goal is. But you wrote a whole chapter about making a decision, which I think for a lot of people is hard.
Well, and the reason it's hard, Richard, especially now with all the economic uncertainty, we've got political, fiscal, tax uncertainty, those types of things make decision-making more difficult. And I'll tell you, when we were at Everest Base Camp looking at weather forecasts, it really was not clear when it would be a good time to go. And, you know, that is a fatal decision if it's made incorrectly. So, you know, there are a lot of consequences, of course. And I think one of the pieces of advice I would give to listeners is this. Whenever you're faced with a difficult decision, if you simply look at the worst possible scenario, And what's going to happen if I make the wrong decision? We might lose a certain sum of money. We might not get the business deal. You know, any number of things like this. Now, in our case, if we made a wrong decision about when to go up to the summit of Mount Everest, the consequences were more severe. So I guess the point is putting things into perspective and making that decision and just going for it. And, you know, that's one of the things that I would take away. There's a great quote about this from Ralph Waldo Emerson. He said, once you make a decision, the universe conspires to make it happen.
Yeah, and I found that the best thing you can do is make a good decision. The second best thing you can do is make a bad decision. Because if you do that, at least you can make amends, make changes, go to plan B, go to plan C. The worst thing you can do is make no decision at all, because that suggests that you're not making any progress at all towards any goal if you can't make decisions.
Right.
I think Teddy Roosevelt said something similar. So, yeah, make a decision. I love that chapter. That my other, I'm not going to say second favorite, because it was my co-favorite chapter, is about moving fast, which is something I try to do because I'm a long-distance endurance runner. I don't do this to move slow. You're writing, though, about moving fast in a slightly different context.
Right, and that's mostly in the Khumbu Icefall. We were climbing from the south through Nepal. It's notoriously dangerous. Avalanches come through there, and you've got to really get through there as quickly as possible. And same thing in life. I mean, if you have a goal and an objective to reach, there is no point in delaying and procrastinating if you really want to get there. So, you know, Helen Keller, there's another quote in my book, Steps to the Summit. It's full of fun quotes, but Helen Keller said, life is either a daring adventure or nothing. And again,
I use that line all the time. She's, well, as you might guess, she's one of my heroes. It's a great line.
It is. It's a great motto.
So move fast. I'm telling you, your favorite chapter that you wrote. Do you have a favorite chapter? I'm just curious. And is it the same for both of you?
You know, I think for me, one of the steps, step number two, is live courageously, and that has a lot of personal meaning for me. And I think it's been just sort of a foundational premise that I try to live my life, and Denise and I together have taken on many challenges as partners, and I think you can accomplish so much if you stand up and live courageously and just and go for it.
I think my favorite is probably step 15 and never give up, because it really just summarizes everything that we've been pushing ourselves to do through the 8 years of climbing and in life as well.
So talking about never giving up, how fast are you moving as you ascend to the highest summit on the planet? or should I say, how slow are you moving?
I was going to say slow, like a snail.
Or how many
it's
days
one
does
step,
it take?
Yeah. Take two or three breaths, then another step, two or three breaths, and that's at 29,000 feet. So you're not moving fast at all.
So from the base camp that you were at to the time that you ascended takes how long? Or took you how long?
Once we were acclimatized, it took us 1 week round trip from 17,000 feet at base camp up to the summit at 29,000 feet. But that was over a 6 week incremental acclimatization time.
Right, because you have to go up partway and then down partway further and back down. Am I getting that right?
Correct. Yeah, each time you're hiking high, you're stressing your body, which is creating more red blood cells, which are allowing you to be able to carry more oxygen and fuel those cells. Then you go down below and you rest, and then you'll do it all over again the next day.
And the actual ascent itself, I think you said you left at 9 o'clock in the evening. Two questions. Why do you leave in the dark, and how long did it take you then to get there from 9 o'clock at night?
Well, the reason you leave at night, most storms seem to surface on big mountains in the afternoon. So the objective is to get up to the summit as early as possible in the day, not long after sunrise, and then get back down to the safety of your tent before those storms roll in. So from Camp 4 at the South Col, that's in the death zone now, 26,000 feet up to 29,000, took us about 12 hours, and then about 6.5 hours to get back down.
and it was just your team of four, or was there a guide with you or other people?
There's quite a few, and that's the reason actually it took as long as it did. With that weather window that's extremely short, there was an extreme backlog of people that were all kind of waiting for the same weather window. Everyone's using the same fixed line, so you had to be patient. And meanwhile, you're looking at your oxygen reserves, and it was extremely unnerving because of the fact that you're potentially running out of oxygen, running out of time.
But given that it was unnerving, are people still extremely courteous and patient given the circumstances?
It was amazing. You get in a little traffic here on the 5 freeway, and you can't wait for 30 seconds for the car
to move.
I know,
you were honking at me when I didn't move when the light turned.
No drive-by shootings on the mountain, then, huh?
No, yeah. It was incredible.
Yeah. Hang on, though. We got to take a little break right now. I'll come right back with more of Victory Money in Your Life. Stay tuned. All right. We're back with the last segment. We're scaling the summit of this show, Richard. And back to you and Paul and Denise.
Let our listeners know how they can get a hold of you, how they can buy the book, how they might be able to hear you speak, all the details, if you'd be so kind.
Thank you for asking, Richard. We can be contacted at stepstothesummit.com, and there you can also find links to various places to purchase a copy of the book. It's very affordable. You can get it on Amazon. If you're an ebook type of a person, it's available through Amazon. If you have a Kindle, also go into the iBook store. You can download a free sample. And the cool thing about our ebook version of Steps to the Summit is the embedded videos. And we have some absolutely fantastic footage that we shot on GoPro cameras from the summit of Mount Everest at over 29,000 feet, 360-degree panoramic view from the top of the world, and it's embedded right in the book. So you're turning the pages, you tap on there, and you get to see this incredible sight that so few people get to see, and we really enjoy sharing it with all of you, and there's a great opportunity to do that. Again, go into the iBook store, just type Steps to the Summit. You can download a free copy, and if you're interested in getting a personalized copy of the hardcover book, at stepstothesummit.com, you can do that and just tell us who you'd like it addressed to, and we'll actually send that out ourselves.
And you're not doing this to make money, right?
No, we're not. That's a good point, Richard. We are donating 100% of the profits to the Challenged Athletes Foundation, so you'll be helping some very deserving individuals in need as you purchase a copy of the book, so you'll get something entertaining and educational and be doing something good for someone who could really use the help.
And how much money have you raised for CAF in the past with your expeditions?
Oh, gosh. It's well over $300,000 now.
Congratulations. That's superb.
That's great.
Thank you.
Well, that's, now how'd you discover the CAF? I know it's always in late October. It's down at La Jolla Cove. They have this their triathlon, right? And when did you first get linked up with them? It's a great organization.
It's an incredible organization. My sister was competing in triathlons, invited us to come down and volunteer. And I got to see some incredibly inspirational athletes. As we talked about before, I have a birth injury, a challenge with my right arm. Well, I met a guy by the name of Willie Stewart, One Arm Willie as he's known, and lost his arm in a construction accident and was my inspiration to get out there and attempt doing a triathlon. I didn't think I could do it. And we all have limitations in life. We all have things that we think are holding us back. Some of them are physical, others are in our head. And what I'd like to leave you with is a great quote by Sir Edmund Hillary. And after he became the first person to successfully climb Mount Everest in 1953, Hillary said, "It's not the mountain we conquer, but ourselves." And that's one of the things I will encourage everyone in my book, Steps to the Summit, is to conquer yourself, pursue your big goals and dreams, climb to your summits, and just go for it.
Now, you do a lot of speaking. Is it usually before business groups?
Indeed, yes. As an investment banker, I love to speak to entrepreneurs. And, we frequently attend various business gatherings and conferences and keynote addresses at really many different associations and whatnot. So we'd love to do that. Again, you can reach us, go to the website, and there's some contact information there. And we'd love to talk to you about that.
And the business owners or entrepreneurs that you meet with, what are, obviously you have to be concerned about personal information, but what are some of the big challenges that they're facing, the people that you talk to? business or otherwise?
Well, you know, right now we've got so many. I don't think the program's long enough to cover all the challenges and the risks that we've got with the economy and as I mentioned, some of the fiscal uncertainty. And it's very much like climbing a mountain. You know, you've got to do it one step at a time. You've got to make important decisions. And above all, step eight, if nothing else, step eight of my book is have a little faith. Mm-hmm. And that's just something that I think will get you through even the toughest of times.
Well, I'll tell you, if you go down to the Challenge Athletes event in late October and get out there early when Bob Babbitt starts to introduce some of these Challenge Athletes, and I'll tell you, it is inspiring. These folks are missing one or more limbs and dealing with all kinds of, and they're out there running, swimming, biking, they're just great, positive people to be around. I mean, I was there once, and some kid came out from Florida. And he was just—he had one was missing a leg, and he said he just flew out here cross country just to check it out, and he's going to come back like you folks did. You know, came out as a volunteer, but he just was standing there. He lost his leg to a shark, I think, or a surf accident or something. But
yeah, it's incredible stuff.
Yeah, it's really inspiring.
So, Denise and Paul, you've climbed the 7 highest summits on the planet. What do you do next?
You go to Hawaii and you compete in Ironman October 12th for one. And then you continue leading our adventure groups like we've been doing at corporate retreats.
I think you should start diving for sunken treasure or something. You know, to see how many miles.
We have had people say, well, you've gone high, now you've got to go low, right?
But let me ask the question in a different way. You climb the 7 highest summits, including the highest on the planet, and then you have to come back down to Earth and go into the office on Monday morning and check your email. I mean, how do you do that?
That was tough, I'll have to admit. But honestly, Richard, I love what I do so much in helping entrepreneurs with an incredibly important climb in their life is extremely rewarding. It's challenging, and in many cases, more challenging than climbing a big mountain, I'll tell you, with some of the hurdles that we've got nowadays. But It definitely is something that fires me up, and I enjoy doing it. So having a balance of being able to do both of those things is great. I love it.
And we were comparing notes because I'm doing something that you've already done. I'm trying to get a book out by May. You said there's something that you've done that's even harder than climbing Everest. What is that?
Yeah, writing and publishing a book. I'll tell you, it is a challenge. It was an incredible journey, but and I'm glad we did that. But definitely worthwhile for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of work because you've, I'm going through the throes of it right now. I want to strangle my editor sometimes.
Richard, don't forget, step 15, never give up.
I know, never give up. I know.
We must persevere because, I heard a story this morning about Lady 67 still has to work, lost a lot in the recession, and her sister 79, and they're both doctorates. They work in North Carolina, and they're still working. But she was so positive, the younger lady, So I could see where you need to have that good mental attitude, and obviously your physical accomplishments transfer over into your personal and business lives, and or vice versa. So it all. But the thing is, physical fitness helps, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, to stay positive, right, Richard? I mean,
yeah, you're gonna find out on March 2nd, Joe, when you try to run.
Well, I'm not gonna run the whole thing.
Oh, come on! It's only 3.1 miles.
Yeah, well, I'll finish.
These people have climbed the 7 highest summits. You can't climb the Quinn Street
box.
Hill.
I checked the box. I checked the box. I do not publish my time. So.
No. we're going to tackle you and put one of those little timing tags on your shoelaces.
No, but I paid my entry fee for what the heck.
Okay.
I'm supporting the cause, so I'll be there.
That's good stuff. So, Paul and Denise, the one thing you could leave our listeners with, if there was just one message or story coming out of your book, what is it?
Wow, there's 15 great ones in there, and I have to pick one?
You do.
One step at a time, maybe.
I think the first one is an important one, and step number one is dream big and step up. And another great quote in there is from Goethe, and he says, "Whatever you can do or dream you can do, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it."
Yeah, I mean, I love step one because I tell people many, many things on this planet are like running a marathon. You can't hit the finish line unless you've taken the first step.
Right.
You have to take the first step.
So make,
because if you don't do that, you can't take the second and the third, and on it goes.
Make a decision, right? That's the one. Make a commitment.
Make a decision to purchase a copy of Steps to the Summit. Do it now. You'll be supporting a great cause. And
absolutely.
Thank
absolutely.
You. Thank
anyway,
you for
Paul, Denise, thanks for being here. StepsToTheSummit.com.
You guys, thanks so much.
Thank you, Richard. And it's been a great show, very inspiring. I'm going to go out and walk now.
Thank you, guys. Good luck, Joe.
Thank you, Justin Hart, on our board. Thank you to Craig Blanket.
Hi, it's Roger. You know, you buy a Mercedes-Benz because you just like the way it feels. When you're behind the wheel, you feel pampered, comfortable, and well taken care of. So when it's time to buy your Mercedes-Benz, go to the dealership that makes a point of really taking care of people. Mercedes-Benz of Laguna Niguel. Now, you're going to experience the amenities and service that Mercedes-Benz of Laguna Niguel is known for with their spacious and comfortable five-star lounge and outdoor patio, freshly brewed Starbucks coffee, and free Wi-Fi. Also experience award-winning five-star service, a service department that's open on Saturdays, and a Mercedes-Benz service loaner car for when you need it. They even have unlimited free car washes and free roadside assistance. So if you're looking for a great offer on a Mercedes-Benz, and you should be, just head up the 5 to Avery Parkway to Mercedes-Benz of Laguna Niguel.
Five-star service at one-star drive.
Why would we make deeper cuts just to protect tax breaks?
Then we lead the conversation.
More government isn't going to help you get ahead.
Follow the leader. 760 K.